Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. I am Ann Ortley here in New York at the Bright Red Desk, and we gathered today with my friends, Heather Roan Robbins, who I believe is out there. Heather, you out there?
Yes, I am. I'm here in Ronan, Montana, calling in from the Wild West.
Yay.
It has been wild.
And we're waiting for Mark. Yeah, and she's got bears in her driveway. They can't deliver packages because the bears are in the driveway. I'm in New York. It's just hot and rainy here. And we're waiting for Mark to come. Hopefully he'll join us, too. But, yeah,
if there was a bear in your driveway, it would really throw them off, right?
True. I have a bus stop in my driveway. That's what I have is a bus stop. No bears. No bears. I'm good with animals under 30, 40 pounds. You know, when they get bigger than that, I'm always kind of like, what are we doing here? What do you want?
Yeah.
You're kind of bigger than me. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it is.
But
it
Heather
is
was
surprise.
Reporting on her saying that the dogs come home smelling fragrant, too, because they find the bear poop and roll in it. And,
love
Heather, say what happened with your tarot deck.
My astro oracle deck has
your astro oracle.
It's now been translated in several other languages, and I just got my Spanish version and the Japanese version, which makes me very excited.
It's very cool, very cool. Yes, if you don't know, you can buy Heather's Star Codes deck. It's very cool, and it's available for sale where? Amazon and where else?
Amazon and from Hay House directly. And it's designed so that people learn the astrological. If you know astrology, you can use the deck without reading it. But if you read it, it can help you learn the terms so that studying astrology gets easier. So it works in both directions.
It works in both directions. It's very cool. So congratulations. Yay, Heather. So, and as the moon goes, the nodes of the moon shift into Aries and Libra today, they did it around 4 o'clock East Coast time, we are now entering a whole new chapter of energy. The last time they were in, so people think back on what was going on for you in the period of time December of 2004 for a year and a half, and the period of time from April of 1986 for a year and a half, and if you're old, August of 1967, and if you're really old, January of 1949. So there was something that happened then when the nodes shifted into Aries for a year and a half, which is all about I am. I am ready for this new chapter. So what do you think? What do you tell people about the nodes changing?
Yeah, it is something to kind of wake up. It's because it's so interesting that they always retrograde back. So we go, this is the time we experience the difference between fixed into cardinal instead of cardinal into fixed. And it's such an interesting process when it goes from kind of stable and haunted Taurus Scorpio into what can I initiate now, and how do I relate to others with this? And it was interesting today because it formed a grand square with the new moon at 25 degrees of Cancer and Pluto at 29 Capricorn. So, I think there's a lot of endings and beginnings right now. And I know, several relationships that went, okay, that's it today. And I've heard several people trying to sell houses kind of haunted and, just feeling the angst of it. And I'm asking people not to hurry up and make a decision, but to notice this and decide where they want to go after that.
Right. And it looks like Mark has joined us. Mark, you out there?
I'm here. Hello, Ann. Hello, Heather.
Hey.
The gang's all here.
And where are you?
Yeah. I'm in New York City.
You're in New York on the west side, in the hot New York City.
On the west side.
Not as hot today as it was yesterday, but we were just talking about the nodes shifting into Aries and Libra. So I saw you came in, so I wanted to introduce you into the team. So Heather, when you're telling people it is shifting, the change is really big because the North Node is before, and it's kind of interesting because Venus and Mars are right next to each other, right? And the last year and a half, the North Node has been run by Venus. And today it's shifted to be run by Mars in Virgo. So he's very precise, but he also is answering to Mercury in Leo, which is, I want this. Mercury in Leo is very much, I want. And the South Node was, for the last year and a half, running with Mars ruling the South Node, cleaning up, letting go. And now Venus rules the South Node. And so she's kind of sitting back. So the analogy I used was, you know, they're on a road trip, and they just changed passengers, right? And now Mars is going to drive instead of Venus for a year and a half. And he likes a different kind of music than Venus likes. So he's going to, you know, because whoever drives gets to control the music, right? So he's now going to turn on rock and roll and go, or maybe an audio book because he's in Virgo and he wants to learn something. And Venus is like, I like the love songs. Where are the love songs? And so there's this shift of energy as they swap places and they change who's driving our fate. Because now we're being driven by Mars, which every 2 months he will change his focus, but it's an interesting change, and it is Aries energy of initiation. I am. I'm ready to go. And, of course, Mercury in Leo says, this is what my heart's path is, or this is what I'm claiming I want. So it's an really interesting energy up there. Mark, how do you describe the nodes?
Well, the nodes, for people personally, indicate the direction of growth and development. And the South Node is what we're growing away from and we're letting go of. And it's all part of growing. You know, you need to grow from somewhere, and that's the South Node. The North Node is where we're developing into. And that's where our challenges are as well. So now we're shifting that energy from fixed into cardinal signs, and it means we take a different approach. So we're in some ways more sure of how to handle our nodes under the fixed signs. Now we're a little less sure, but we need to take a chance. So there's a take a chance energy around this. And I feel that with a lot of people. And take a chance also gives us the idea of needing to make changes. So, and if we do that too speedily, it's not always the best result. You have to fix it on the fly. But we'll see a fair amount of that with the fresh change of signs. Then we'll start to get used to these.
So, Venus is about to turn retrograde. And in quincunx Pluto, what do we feel about that? Forming
and Neptune.
Finger
it's forming
of God
a finger
to
of God.
Neptune. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
To retrograde Venus, and I think that's also what I'm hearing in several relationships. Some are doing great, but others, the ones that have been sort of on thin ice, so to speak, have been. I'm seeing them having a rough week.
They just cracked through the ice.
Cracked through the ice.
Yeah, and if you get on the internet, a lot of people are getting divorced. Sophia Ferraga and Joe Manganiello, I'm not sure I'm saying his right.
In that, that's
you know,
so
7 years, they just announced
their did a Saturn cycle.
Yeah, Saturn cycle. But it is, and I had about 4 people call today, I'm getting divorced. I'm like, all right. It was just fielding phone calls all afternoon, you know. So decisions are made, and that's the energy of the decisions made. But it is Venus, and because she stopped in the sky, she's forming this finger of fate for a while. She's forming it now as she stations to go retrograde. But, you know, Neptune and Pluto are at 28, 29. So basically she's in this finger of fate really until the end of October or the end of September, right? She moves out of it, but then she comes back through it again when she gets, because she's retrograde, when she gets back into the 26, 27 areas, and she forms another finger with them, you know. So it's choices being made. And, of course, Venus is in Leo, so she's asking you to choose your heart's path. Neptune, of course, in the last degrees of Pisces, is dissolving the structures of your life. And he's saying, let's dissolve those structures, shift them, change, release them. He's retrograde until November. Pluto is also retrograde until November, and he's saying, let's crack apart anything that hasn't been eroded. So we're seeing all these rivers in the east, northeast, Neptune beating up the roads, you know, and people are like, you can't drive because the road washed away. But it's taking out the structures, dissolving the structures that we have, with the idea being we're going towards the heart, what we really want. In our own lives, it's dissolving things too, but it can feel a little unstable when you're on a road that's dissolving, right, or you're on a path. So it's an interesting energy. And while Venus is retrograde for 40 days until September 3rd, we're going to be working with her energy. She goes back to 12, I believe. We're going to be working with her energy in terms of what actually is it you want. And she forms a conjunction with the Sun in the middle of this on the 13th of August. And then that she turns into a morning star, which is one of her more assertive phases until June of next year when she turns back into an evening star. So we're really seeing a lot of assertion, too, like this is what I want to do. How do you guys describe Fingers of God, Heather? Do people?
I do feel like it's that, you know, those two in conjuncts are that irritating, activating aspect. And it can feel like a real buddyhood, you know, that we know Pluto and Neptune run sextile for decades, but when they work as a team here, you know, the idea that it's what in the face of life and death is asking you to reevaluate and where would you like to imagine it goes next? And because everything, they're both retrograde and Venus is about to turn retrograde, it's not some new event. It's sort of the ripening of a problem that's been there for a long time. And, it, you know, I see that it can call us to a new truth, to a new level of honesty and care. It can call us to, say, you know, recommit to our heart in the face of some difficulties. And so I'm also hearing relationships that are doing well are having to say, no, we're going to work through this together, whatever this is, whatever problem is facing them at the moment. But so I see that kind of that directing us to use Venus in her higher note. What I'm noticing with Venus in Leo is that need to be seen, you know, that everybody, I mean, even in the deepest ways, you know, my family was here last week. My daughter, my grandkids, was lovely, you know. Teenagers were here, and it was, I gave up having anybody ask me a question because I realized they were so desperate to be seen, all of them, be seen right by each other, to give their time and their center, and I'm seeing that certainly in the politics, it's not what can I do for the country, it's can anybody see how wonderful I am? And I'm just saying to notice that if we can really notice that spirit is seeing us, that the divine is seeing us, that our, you know, closest friends see us, then it's easier to deal with the fact that we might be invisible to other people because they're so hooked on their own agenda right now. Yeah. So that's one of the pieces that I'm watching with Venus retrograde. And it's interesting that the writers and movie strike, Venus in Leo, is very much about the beauty and power of performing arts. And right now, with all of them retrograde, the actors and writers on strike, like this whole problem has hit a crisis point. So that's an interesting way that's coming through.
Yeah.
That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Mark, how do you see the finger of God?
You know, it's trying to accomplish something but it runs into obstacles at the same time. So Venus is trying to operate in a Leo way, which is really warm and giving, but it's having difficulty with Pluto on one side and Neptune on the other. And I would call it a trade-off between bliss and blitz. Pluto being the blitz end of the spectrum and Neptune being the bliss end. And Venus is trying to relate to both, and you can't pull them together. So there's a switching of, and it's never quite enough with the finger of God. It's never enough. So Venus wants more bliss and doesn't know how to get it, and then transfers that energy to looking for more blitz. In other words, a rapid, forceful change. And that's really what it goes on as long as Venus is in that finger of God, which is quite a bit because of the retrograde.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, and I think one of the things, you know, is we're watching all the changes that we're experiencing in the world right now. There's a real strong energy of, well, you know, what does that actually look like? And if I was to do that, what would it feel like energetically? Because there's just a lot of stuff going on around how am I going to do that? What is that energy about? Because there's so much choice. The other thing we have happening this week is Eris, the goddess of discord, is stationing to go retrograde. Chiron is also stationing to go retrograde.
Yep.
And we have the sun entering Leo. So that's the happy news. But there's just a lot of, you know, cranky energy up there. You know, because it in conjuncts or quincunxes have a desire to adjust something. It's kind of like your underpants don't fit that well, and you kind of keep pulling them up, or you get the pair and the elastic kind of goes. So there's a very strong adjusting energy this week and a lot of frustration because Mars in Virgo is opposite Saturn. It's in a declination opposition now, but it approaches its opposition towards the end of the week. It clears it. And that's a revving of, I always think of Mars, Pluto as a revving of the engine. It's like your car's stuck in the snow, you know, having grown up upstate New York where there's a lot of snow, and your car would, and you'd spin the tires, and then it would get, you'd kind of get enough snow so you'd get to the pavement, and you'd catch a little traction, and then the car would shoot off. So that's the other end. ready to shoot off, but not quite yet because of the Mars opposition to Saturn. Says, no, you need a plan before you go doing that. So if you're feeling a little blocked as part of this energy, the Mars-Saturn also says, well, what are you going to work on? What, you know, because Saturn's retrograde too, and he's saying what's dissolving and letting go that you need to get new energy in to help yourself move forward. So it's got a little bit of a frustration this week too, because of that opposition with Mars to Saturn. But it's definitely got an energy of, you know, feeling the shift and the change. The new moon's very nice. It's got this grand cross in it, opposite Pluto. Sun squares Pluto this week. And the Pluto squares the nodes this week. It's a very dramatic news week. Lots and lots going on. So when that happens, we go, okay, I'm really feeling this kind of kicking up, you know, in a very potent way. What do you guys, when you see the cardinal cross there with the nodes, what do you say to people about cardinal crosses in terms of choices or picking directions?
It's how
to make the choice. What advice do you give them?
It's a sense of purpose. I mean, right now, I had two clients that was hitting right on today, and they're trying to make a decision. And I'm saying this is not the time to make the decision because there's just so much cooking. And you are releasing rather than gathering. So just take a minute and take your time to kind of feel all the things that want to get started that are just dying to get going. and all the things that haven't quite finished yet, because that's an applying opposition, that the sun and moon to the Pluto, and hitting in the node. You're going to hear soon what the calling is, but this week may be more about release, especially until the sun gets past that opposition to Pluto, which is only a few days away. And once it's past that, I think we'll be able to see, okay, I've cleared the ground, now what am I calling in a little bit better? That's what I'm seeing.
Right.
How about you?
Yeah, yeah. Choices. Yeah, Mark, what about you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Mars opposite Pluto is really important. You can understand that if you want to exercise your Mars, which is to get something done, get something started, you have to have Saturn's permission. Now, Mars never likes to ask permission of anyone, but with Saturn, he has to, because Saturn is tough and also very rational. So Saturn can always win the argument, because it's just, there's no way to argue around the logic that Saturn brings to something. So it's better to figure out something that'll make Saturn happy. In other words, you make a plan that you think you can sell to Saturn, and you'll be okay. But you have to have that plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's going retrograde, too. So he started stuff in March, and then he said, nah, not quite ready yet. We got all this stuff we got to finish up. So it's very much, you know, on the Venus retrograde, going back in and finishing up things, too, because Venus wants you to review money, review love, review relationships, anything ruled by Venus, and to look at your Taurus and your Libra houses and kind of reflect on how they work and how you connect with them in terms of, you know, what your story is, and because that's the parts of your chart that are going backwards. But also because Venus is in, we'll talk more about it as we get closer to the retrograde, or close to the conjunction, it seeds anew. It's called an inferior conjunction, because Venus is between the sun, but I kind of think of it as an interior one, where we're making
that's
the plans for the next 8 years. And so that energy is here, too. It's like, okay, well, if that situation's changing, what's my next 8 years? So the people that are calling it quits are saying, all right, I got a new plan for the next 8 years. Let's roll. And the people that are recommitting to relationship, and I had a couple of those, too, that were like, okay, we decided we're staying together. We're going to do this. We're recommitting. That also is, what are you doing for the next eight years? As the Sun-Venus conjunction meets at 20 Leo in your chart. So a lot of exciting stuff up there.
Now,
do you guys do new moon rituals on the new moon, especially with the nodes? And if you would, when would you do them?
If I can, I try to do them after the new moon ritual rather than before, unless it depends on what it's doing. I don't always do it. I focus on the eight... the equinox and the cross-quarter days and the solstices. But when I do a new moon ritual, if it's a release ritual, I'll do it before the new moon. If it's an invocation and I want to begin something and plant and fertilize a new beginning, I'll do it right after the new moon. How about you, Anne?
Mm-hmm.
I know you do that.
I tend to do... I've gotten comfortable with the stuff that's supposed to fall away falls away, so I don't really do a lot of the full to new anymore, except getting my hair cut and my mani-pedis, because, you know, this stuff doesn't grow back as fast. It's a releasing energy. But I do the new one, and I do generally look like for a good aspect. So today the last aspect of the moon is in opposition to Pluto, so I'm... Like if you do it today before 11, it's a release energy. And I'm also up for a couple of rituals. I'm a Virgo. Well, do one for this.
Yeah.
And then do one for this. You know, like have a few. So this the Leo moon, which is Tuesday, Wednesday, and half a Thursday, that one's got Moon-Venus meeting. So that's like money, love, bringing things in. And then the moon goes into Virgo in the afternoon on Thursday, I think 1:15 or something, East Coast time. And the Virgo ritual is Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday, early morning Sunday, and that's moon in Virgo trine Pluto. So that's like, okay, what are the work projects? What are the, you know, what's my, in my case, it's in my seventh house, what's my outreach? You know, what am I thinking of doing? So, and this particular new moon is in my work house, meaning it's right on my Jupiter-Uranus in the sixth house. So I know this one's always one of my big ones, the sixth house, the Cancer new moon, because it's on my stuff. So, but that's kind of my plan. So I'm not doing one today because I've hired somebody to help me throw stuff away, and she's doing it.
that's
a ritual right there. There were a lot of cans that were very bad in my cupboard that, you know, had been there for a long time. And it's funny because we threw a bunch of them out because, you know, they turned black or they exploded, or who knew cans could explode? And then I was reading a thing on the internet where her father writes the date that he buys the can and a Sharpie on it. And as a kid, she used to rotate the cans, you know, like when they'd bring new cans. Because that's what I do. If I can, I buy a replacement. But I usually have a couple cans. So I'll buy a replacement and put it in the front. I don't rotate my stock.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, now that's a good idea. I could get into some Sharpies, you know, like organizing the cans. Yeah, you know, and rotating. I mean, I always check the expiration dates in the grocery store because they don't always rotate the stock. You know,
well, that's such a beautiful piece of what is ritual. It is doing something with intention. And even if it's rotating your cans and using a Sharpie, but you're doing it as a visualization for keeping the energy fresh and flowing in your house, it's a powerful ritual. It's like aligning your intention with action. And that when you do it in the microcosm, like your cans, you're also is supporting that pattern on your soul and in the macrocosm and the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's when I'm going to do it. Mark, what do you do about new moon rituals? Do you do them?
I do somewhat, not so much tied to the time, but more tied to the chart, to my own chart of what's going on.
Okay.
But I was just remembering a story. One time we pulled a prank on some people. We went to their cupboards in the kitchen and took all the cans that had paper labels on them and pulled all the labels off. So all they had was cans and no idea what's in them.
Neptune squaring their cans, yes.
Yeah.
But they had actually, it was a good anti-ritual because you couldn't do a ritual if you don't know what you're holding. So they turned it around and said, let's make it everything that is going to be served on the table is going to be serendipity. So each night they would pick a can almost like using a Ouija board, you know, and then build the dinner around whatever was in that can. They had a good sense
of humor. That's interesting. That would make my little Virgo heart go pitter-patter in not a good way. Because I'm like, what if it's beans and oranges, you know, mandarin orange pieces and beans? Like, no, you know, but yeah.
That might actually be
I hear you. Heather, I remember when we were younger, and he said to me, well, I always rearrange my books every month on my shelf, not every month. So, because I think differently, I pull the book out and I think about it, and I'm like, "Wow, that's really impressive." and of course, that's nothing. I don't do that, you know. But that's Mark can also stand on his head, and I can't. So it's all good.
That's true.
You know, he's very flexible because he's a yoga guy. And so I love that story, Mark. Mm. That's great taking the labels off the cans. You know, so. That would just make me plots.
really?
I would be like, what, stewed tomatoes with chickpeas? What am I going to do with that? You know, so, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a creativity, you know, it's rolling the dice.
Creativity exactly. Rolling the dice, yeah.
And I think, so that may be a good place to say tonight is make sure that people, when you roll the dice, you roll it well this week, and take serendipity as a chance to think fast on your feet. There is going to be a lot of letting go this week, but it's also what is the ground being cleared for and what are you stepping into?
Right, right. And also the new moon's at 24, so look where Cancer is in your chart, 24 Cancer, because that's where you're starting a new cycle like you do every month. And then the finger of God is at 29 of Leo. So if you've got planets at 27, 28, 29, that they're getting aspected by the finger of fate. So, and Ann Ortley signing off from the bright red desk.
And Heather Owen Robbins from Montana.
And Mark Waltz from the Hudson River.
Okay.
So we'll catch you all next week. Yeah. Bye, everybody. Have a great week.
Take care.
Remember to hang in there. Yeah. It gets transits. It gets better. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay.